Hello and welcome to the J Train Podcast. Every Monday and Thursday with your emails, your stories, your questions. I say it every episode. Let me say it again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling a friend. And keep doing that. Oh, this song is feeling good. J Train Pod. J Train Pod. J Train Pod. He goes listening every Tuesday. He doesn't know what to do in his dating life. He goes on to the J Train Podcast. And all he wants is the advice. That's right. Every Monday and Thursday. Take these chances. Place them in your pocket and tell a friend, a coworker, and tell a friend. Tell a friend. Tell a friend. That's how we grow the show. When you do that, I know that I love for you to listen every weekday. Listen every day because I'm putting out 5 podcasts a week now. Join the Patreon. Patreon.com/JaredFreed. We do 3 extra podcasts a week. That gets you to 5. And listen, people, I'm going on the road. JaredFreed.com, JaredFreed.com, Atlanta and Albany. You got to feel this music in your toes. It's a good day to be alive. I got Shelby here on the ones and twos. Shelby, how are you?
Better now. Now that I'm hearing
That's
this.
That's right. Little DMB getting you through. Shelby here. We have a capacity audience here at Feather Nation Studios. Very excited for today's guest. New to the show. Hit that music, Shelby.
It's the moment you've all been waiting for. A new guest.
Hilarious comic. He has his own podcast called Stand By Your Band. Tom Takkar, thank you for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Jared. Oh, my God. What an intro. That was beautiful.
We don't screw around
here. How did you pull that off? It worked. People are going to be that's going to be the song of the summer, baby. Doing that intro.
Can you imagine if it became the song of the summer? There's like a remix of it, of me telling people.
It's about to be a white
friend.
Boy summer.
Yeah, it is.
It's coming,
that's
Chet
it.
Hanks.
That's the actual white boy summer.
It's DMB singing at the top of your lungs. Tom Takkar, everyone go check out his podcast called Stand By Your Band. It's every Wednesday at Tom Takkar. He's hilarious. You're all going to love him. How are you? Where are you coming from? What's your deal?
Woof, I'm
How's
good,
your pandemic
baby.
Been? That's the weird way to start these
things. What a pandemic, man. What a pandemic it's been. I'm in Brooklyn right now. I'm in New York, and honestly, it's not been that bad. I don't know, for me, I mean, I can't bitch because, I lost a ton of work, but also work kind of sucks. We're coming back to doing stand-up again, and about 4 days in, the first 3 days, I was like, let's fucking go, and then about day 4, I was like, God damn, I miss kind of just chilling at home. That was sick.
The crowd is touched. I agree. There is that initial burst.
What the fuck is happening?
There's a lot going on in this studio. I there's that initial burst, and then you have that moment where you're like, I'm not writing enough. I'm not doing enough. Yeah. And it's like that I'm not doing enough thing is very much, it was nice to have that out of mind during the pandemic.
Yes. No, I have so much FOMO, and this was like, the first time I got to kind of be like, well, nobody's doing shit, so it's not bad. But I am glad to be, I am happy to be back and all vaxxed up and stuff. So, it's starting to feel a little normal.
Waxed and vaxxed.
Vaxxed, baby.
Waxed and vaxxed. I've heard that saying a few times, and it's like, it is funny that we give bros like the hardest time. Like bros are just a very easy group to make fun of. Mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. And listen, I agree with it. It's easy to make, but it's, let's admit to the easiness with which bros can be made fun of. You know, and when, you know, I'm
what's
breaking the law.
Guys being dudes.
That's right. Someone took my line that I used to say all the time and turned it into something else. But I would say that, you know, breaking laws with the claw, like whenever someone rhymed law with white claw, you were like, okay, that's a bro. That's a guy who repeats office quotes all the time.
Yes.
And it's like, now I hear waxed and vaxxed and I'm like, these lady bros are just as douchey and annoying. Like I haven't heard wax and vax from someone. I'm like, oh, that's a hilarious thinker of our time.
And it's also like the first thing you think of. Like as soon as I got vaxed, I was like, I was on my pod and I was like, I'm waxed and vaxed and ready to play the sax. Like you're just like trying to come up with anything. I'm doing my tax. It's just the quickest thing you think of. But I don't really mind that.
It angers the crowd.
I gotta tell you. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, I was just gonna say this bro culture thing. It took me a while because I used to be like, "What is with these guys?" When you hang out with these guys enough, you're like, "These guys are fucking awesome!" Like they pay for shit. Like there's beers around all the time. They're like fun. And then you hang out with somebody who's not, and they're like, "Actually, like, just like I don't want to hear any kind of bitch."
Why we're the best gender?
Exactly, dudes rock, man.
Dudes rock. I would say the bros get it hard because the worst version of a bro is a dangerous person.
Oh, yeah. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to get out in front of that.
But it's interesting that you say it because, like, a medium loser, like, a loser is all, like a nerd, not loser, but, like, a nerd or, like, a hipster can only do so much harm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like saying, like, man, I love going to the running of the bulls. Like, you know, like I love the running of the bulls. Like, yeah, it is a lot of fun. It's a heart racing experience, but you might die.
Right,
that's hanging out with a bro.
Yes.
Whereas hanging out with like a hipster or like a nerd, it's like, yeah, you might like get carpal tunnel from playing too many video games. Like, I don't know. Like you might have to like hear a long story about why, you know, a band, you know, is cool.
Yeah, like, I mean, that's our whole thing, or why they're not cool, which is like the whole premise of our podcast. Is like,
so the podcast, Stand By Your Band, explain it to people, because I love when we can find people a new podcast.
Hell yeah. So our podcast is for people who like music that gets made fun of. Like Dave Matthews Band is a perfect example. And I started it because I like Coldplay. I like the first three Coldplay albums. And when Coldplay was doing the Super Bowl, everybody acted like it was like 9/11 again or something. Like they acted like it was the worst thing that could have happened. And I get it. Like I get everybody doesn't like them. And Chris Martin is kind of a dweeb sometimes, but it's like, it's still pretty goddamn good. And it's just a way to be positive about something instead of just shitting on everything all the time. Not that we never shit on anything. Like we've talked about like Limp Bizkit and like Kid Rock and stuff. But, and it's not always my cup of tea, but we try. We give it a shot. We have comics come on and like make an argument for a band they like that people make fun of.
As a Dave Matthews fan, I have a thing called the Dave Matthews Theory, where it's the fan base that people don't like, not the band.
Of course.
And that happens to a lot of bands because people become devout. And anything someone's into too much is easily made fun of.
Yes.
And it's easy to hate on. And again, we live in a cynical Twitter time of like people only speak in love and hate. Nobody speaks in, yeah, they're pretty good, because you're pretty good doesn't get retweeted. So like,
yes,
I listen to Dave Matthews Station on Sirius XM because I'm like, I just like having it on the background and I'm a fan of their work. And it's like, it can't be, I'm sorry, I've offended Shelby. It can't be hot, god awful. But then there's some people that like get so into bands that you're like, I just don't like anyone that's so into anything. Music, politics, you know, any like technology. Those people are annoying no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's like when they're pushing it on you too. That's the hardest thing. I lived with a Dave Matthews fan who made me think I didn't like Dave Matthews because of how hard he was pushing it on me. And then we went to like a weekend for Dave Matthews in Indiana, and it was so fun and people were so cool and like everybody was friendly. And I saw the type of people too that everybody's like, oh, this person,
you're judged by your worst fan. It's like bros. Yep. It's the same thing. You're judged by your worst. And that's when you have to like, you know, get your community together. You gotta be like, hey, reel it in. What's the hardest band for someone who came on and defended one that you were like, no one will ever defend this band, but then they did and made a good point?
So it's weird because some people would say Nickelback might fit into that, but I got to tell you, we just did one on the Patreon that was Nickelback because only one comic has offered to defend Nickelback and the timing just hasn't worked out. But even the person defending them was like, I can't even really stand by this. It's like, some of it's good, but I got to tell you, I was like an easy sell on Nickelback because I was like, I remember when How You Remind Me came out and I was like, this fucking rules. I like this song. And then I hated like, Look at This Photograph or whatever. And I was like, oh yeah, everybody's right. They do suck. But like that Spider-Man song was great. And like, there's some good shit.
Do you think Nickelback, their biggest problem is that they were the easiest music to play on radio? Like it was I think it was just overplayed. It wasn't that like, because it would be played on classic rock, like on rock stations and pop stations.
Yep.
It's those bands that kind of find their way onto like Kiss 108 and WROR. Yeah. Like those two say that you go, it's enough already. We've heard it.
Sure, sure. And you know, I feel like I probably have that with like One Direction or Jonas Brothers. I used to feel like that about Bieber, and then now I like Bieber too. I don't even hate Bieber. I like him. So
Bieber's great. The new shit's great. And there was one song that I had to stop with. It was the Preacher one. What's the one?
That one I'm not into. But I also just am tired of.
But that got overplayed. I think I think this is on the DJs a little bit. Like sometimes bands, like I don't know how they want to be played as much as possible. I'm sure, but I'm like, how does Bieber look at them and go, "Hey, take a day"? You know,
that is interesting because you don't want to be overplayed. I think there's another thing happening though that's not just the overplaying. Something like Nickelback, I think that's in there, but something weird that happened because also Nickelback is just the baseline of rock, and there's a thing with Chad Kroeger, the main guy, where he just so desperately wanted to make a top 40 song that he studied top 40 shit for like forever and then tried to recreate it, and he did it, which is fine.
Nobody likes to hear that they've been algorithmed by an artist.
Exactly.
Like it's not really a fun thing to hear from people who think about these things. The problem with art is that nobody thinks about it as much as people who like it. Mm-hmm. So like we have this problem in comedy. I had an issue, not an issue, but I won't mention names, but I post tweets on Instagram. I like doing it. I like putting them up. I think it's a great packaging system.
It's great. I love it too.
Yeah. I've been doing it for years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of treat Twitter as like a rough draft space, like a notebook.
Yeah.
And I consider Instagram as like the show.
That's how I've been doing it too. I think that's the way to go. And people bitch about that though.
I think it's only
you just post your tweets. Who gives
a
shit?
Like, yeah, to me, the job of a comedian is to be funny, and they're funny. Mm-hmm. And the way you look at Instagram is different than Twitter. It is just packaged better. It looks better. So, but I've been putting these out, and like I have recently seen a couple of tweets from bigger accounts put up things that look like things I've done.
Uh huh. And like similar jokes, you mean?
Similar jokes, but like gently askew.
Yeah.
Askew enough that I don't really have a leg to stand on.
Right.
But
they're
somewhat redundant. You and I both know sometimes a joke isn't hacky until it's late.
Yes. Right.
So like
the first person to do it is not the hack. It's like, 10 people in. Yeah.
So it's like charcuterie is just adult Lunchables. The 30,000th time I've heard that, now I think less of the person who says it.
Yes.
That's right. You ever notice that charcuterie is just adult legible? Yeah. When the 30 millionth time I heard it, I have less respect for the person who done it because they're putting it out there as if, oh, look at how smart my, you know, my quip is or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this has been happening, and because they're bigger accounts, there's, and, you know, because we do stand-up, we have to deal with a community. Like, if I put up jokes on Instagram that were from 7 years ago, you know, comics would just not associate with me. They would
right.
be like,
they'd give you shit like a couple times, and about the third time they saw you do it, they'd be like, all right, I guess the guy's just a hack. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, they wouldn't respect you anymore.
There's a community to deal with. When you have no community,
yep.
you can be as hacky as you want.
Lawless.
It's lawless.
The Wild West, yeah.
So these bigger accounts that are putting on tweets that are things I've done 2 years ago, they don't deal with anybody. They just go on. You know,
all
they
that
just,
they get is some people in the comments. If they get caught, they'll get some people in the comments, and they usually don't get caught. We just see the ones where somebody happens to notice and tags a person, and then everybody, all the comics are like, hey, you stole this, you piece of shit, and they just move right along.
The audience doesn't care enough as much as we do. And that's when people start saying, that's the internet. And it's like, no, but this is so. But and this is where Chad Kroeger has made enough money. He's outside of the musical community. He goes, fuck these people. I'm just going to be the richest band ever.
Yeah.
And he doesn't care. I'm sure he cares, but I'm sure he doesn't have to deal with the consequence of it. And it's the same exact thing as these bigger accounts where I'm like, yeah, I could message this person and be like, hey, this kind of looks like something I've done 2 years ago, but they don't care. They don't care.
No. They would just go, sorry, or just like, oh, great minds, winky face.
Exactly.
It's not enough.
No, well, it's not exactly the same.
Yeah,
because you have no artistic credibility, and I have a little bit of it. I'm not saying I have a lot. I just have enough where I would be embarrassed to walk into the Comedy Cellar after posting a bunch of fucking hacky shit that was done 2 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
It's an interesting thing.
That shit used to make me so angry, and then you hit a wall where you're just like, I guess, fuck me. I just got to let it go. Because you see people defend it, where it's like, I remember that was the thing with Emily Ratajkowski or whatever.
Sure.
Where she was defending the fat Jew and just being like, what? It's memes. It's who cares? And it's like,
then who cares about
somebody?
Yeah,
did
who cares
it?
About Shakespeare? Like, you know, take his name off the title. I'm not, you know, not to say they're the same, but like, at what point do you care?
Yeah. Yeah. At what point does it matter? At what point is it your property? And that's like, maybe that's why they created these NFTs, the thing that I have no
interest in. Well, I think that's a part of it. I think that people are looking at, well, again, this is all, the money makes the world go around. That's what it's all about. And that's why I want all of you to go support us. You know, go support Stand By Your Band. It's a podcast.
Baby.
Tom Takkar hosts it. Every Wednesday, go follow at Tom Takkar on Instagram. So funny. You're going to love him. You ready to do some emails?
Let's do it, brother.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. I like this one because it's an email we get every year, but it's worth rehashing. And I think you're a great guest to talk about it with. Okay. Ready? Because I love watching you on stage. I think everyone's going to like your stand up. Wedding season approaching.
Ooh.
Okay. Hey, J-Train, extending a long feather from Scandinavia. Listener since the TFM days, I know you've been given advice on this topic before. I just wanted to ask again. With a big wedding season approaching, it's going to be a big wedding season.
Yeah.
A lot of single people, and it's all last year's weddings coming up this year. It's going to be a loaded season. With a big wedding season approaching as COVID restrictions start to lessen, what advice do you have for best men and maids of honor giving speeches this year?
Ooh.
So, Tom Takkar, have you ever given a best man speech? What is your advice to the people giving the maid of honor best man speech out there in our J-Train world?
Yes, so I gave a best man speech. It's been maybe 6 years now since I've had to do one, but you know, it's an honor to get asked or whatever, but it puts a burden on you and you're at work now. And you got to kind of think of it like that, where it's like, My biggest piece of advice, because the thing you always see people fuck up, is just don't drink before. Give yourself, maybe have a glass of wine or champagne. Do not get fucked up, because you will regret it for a long time. It'll be a story, and you don't want to be a story, you know?
You want to be... Agreed. That was advice given to me when I first started doing stand-up. I was advised, take the first 2 years and don't drink before you go on stage.
Uh-huh.
And so that you don't need it, because you see all these comics who started with one drink, then it moved to two drinks, then it moved to three, and now they're going up and they don't know how to, like, you're never the same. You ate too much one night, you ate enough the next night.
You're chasing a dragon. You're chasing, like, the perfect mix of cocktail inside your body to make you funny, and it's like... You shouldn't need that. Oh, damn! I might have a little one right now, dude. Slightly on the same topic. I just watched this movie called Another Round last night. It is incredible. It's like Danish, and it's about these guys who try to follow this theory that this Russian guy had, where everybody's alcohol level is you're in a 0.5% deficit. So you should be drinking you should always be at 0.5% alcohol. And they
was it a documentary?
No.
It's with the guy. He's
the guy,
like,
from Casino Royale.
And he was in Doctor Strange. And it's a really good movie.
It's fucking great. It's just shows how much better their lives all get when they try to maintain a certain alcohol level. And I've only watched the first like half, so it's still really good. And I might just stop, because I love the theory. But I highly recommend it. It's a great movie. Another Round. But I think, like, you can get to a level of, like, if you have, like, a glass of wine, you're not going to, you know, ruin your life or whatever. But I think at weddings, people are so hyped up and ready to party. And, you know, you're the best man. You've been going to dinners and bachelor parties and shit. You're in party mode. And you just kind of, that one day, just take off a couple hours. And then, and also, don't drag it out. Like, I would say that's the other thing, is length is big.
So here's my advice to everyone giving a maid of honor speech and best man speech. I agree with you. Don't drink before, even though that seems like the way to loosen you up, because everyone thinks comics, how many drinks do you have before? None. Oh, really? They're like always surprised. Here's the other thing. And the advice is different. Best man wants to be funny because he thinks being funny will get him laid. And I have been to weddings before where the best man, like, went and Google searched best man jokes, and he fucked himself, because you need, so what's the deal with one vagina the rest of your life? You know, like,
there's three rings.
So I would say to these people, you're going to be funny. Just know that. But you want to be funny for Nana.
Yes.
And the women you're trying to impress. Because if you fuck with Nana, no one's going to remember how funny you were. They're going to say, he really fucked with Nana. Okay. Yeah. For women, they go too inside. They do the inside joke. Remember the time we did the thing and you did the thing? And everyone's sitting there, like, not understanding.
Yeah.
So you have to be broad. And it has to be a story that Nana and the guys can get involved in.
And, like, you got to think of who's, like, there's such a broad spectrum where you're like, oh, a third cousin's here. They're not going to give a shit about a lot of this. Say something that can apply to everybody's lives a little bit. But it's good when it's like a story that you have about the person that makes sense.
So that's always my advice to people, because we get this question a lot. You have a story. If you're the best man, you're the maid of honor. Naturally, if you're the maid of honor or best man, and you have to have a story about this person. I don't know what that story is, but I'm telling you, have a story that you've told 1,000 times about them. And because you've told it 1,000 times, that means it's a worked out bit. You know the parts that get laughs. You've already naturally tossed out the parts that get no laughs.
Yep.
So you have a bit, and you have a bit because everyone knows this person, that it's gonna be funnier because everyone knows them. So you have to trust what I'm saying here.
Yeah.
So take that story you've told 1,000 times about that person, tell it a few times to a few friends, write it down, and then what you do, whatever the central theme of that story is, you relate it to the couple.
Yes.
So do, in conclusion, you don't have to say in conclusion, but you do your final paragraph, and for this reason, this person acts this way. That's how I knew blankety blank was the one. That's your last sentence, and you're out. So
and
you get
out.
The funny
yes.
and the sweet, and you wrap it up with a bow, and it's 5 minutes at a maximum.
Max, yes, that's huge. Don't tell
out.
Too many stories. Like get in,
one
the best-
story. And if you don't yes. have a story about this friend, maybe you shouldn't be the best man or
right,
the maid of honor.
Right. One of the best weddings.
That's right.
One of the best weddings I've ever been to was one where I didn't know anybody. I didn't know. The only person I knew was the person who brought me. And
okay.
speeches were exactly what you're talking about. It was the brother of the bride told a story about his little sister and how like a story about like her dating in the past, but it wasn't like weird. It was just and about her meeting this guy that she's with now who he loves as a brother-in-law. And it was such a perfect, like, 5 minutes tight, had a funny part in the middle, and then closed with the heartwarming. I was bawling. Nobody
really?
I was crying at a stranger's wedding. Yeah, it was insane. That it's exactly that cocktail, though. If you can nail it and there's no awkwardness of rambling, and that's what comes with getting drunk, is you think you're loose, but actually you're rambling, and you don't,
yeah.
you know, you go nowhere, and it's so good to just write it out too. Don't think you're
write
gonna
it
come
out,
up with something.
But
on
it's
your
a
feet.
Story you've told before, because when you tell the story before, like it's just like us going on stage. We go on stage and work out jokes to get rid of the junk.
Right.
You've already gotten rid of the junk. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Roman. Listen, it's really easy to ignore your problems, and especially ignore something like ED. You might say, oh, I had a little too much to drink tonight. But that's the thing. You get older, your body changes, and you have to change with it. I do this with all health things. I go, I'll just drink some water. It's nothing. And then you go to the doctor, and they go, hey, let's take care of this. There's things you can do. And it's easy to take care of ED with Roman. GetRoman.com/JTrain. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/JTrain and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Listen, people, this is such an easy thing to ignore. I understand it. Anything with health related, I go, I'll do it tomorrow. And then you Google for 5 minutes and then you go, what doctor do I even go to? Who do I even talk to? And here's the thing. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional is just minutes away from talking to you about your issues. Go to GetRoman.com/JTrain now. You'll get $15 off your first month. It's time to take care of your ED. Get started today, and you'll save $15 on your first order. That's GetRoman.com/JTrain. And remember, get started today, and you'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. GetRoman.com/JTrain. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Movement Watches. In a tiny apartment in Southern California, two college dropouts teamed up to create a watch company that broke all the rules. With fair prices, unexpected colors, and clean original designs, Movement grew into one of the fastest growing watch brands, shipping to over 160 countries across the globe. Now they've expanded to blue light glasses that protect your eyes from screens. I wear the blue light glasses. I love them. I wear them to watch TV before I go to bed. It helps with my sleep. And they also sent me the Pacific Mist Watch, designed with a 100-meter water rating, a rotating bezel, and surgical-grade 316-liter stainless steel for optimal performance. Featuring brushed gunmetal blue and gray dial accents, this is a sexy watch. I'm going to tell you right now, I love what Movement's doing because it's not a huge, gaudy-looking watch. It's a nice, slick, something that's understated that shows you get it. I think sometimes when you see people with these huge watches, you go, oh, I don't know, what's that person trying to say? This says it all without trying to say it. Movement watches have the look and quality of a $400 to $500 watch you're paying for at a department store, but just cost a fraction of the price because they were built online and own their process
from start to finish. You get a beautiful watch shipped right to your door for free. And if you don't love it, you can ship it right back for free. I've got to spend all day in front of my computer. And in addition to the watch, the glasses, Everscroll blue light filtering glasses are a game changer. It really helps with my eyes. I'm telling you, it's one of those things that, like, you don't notice it until you start wearing it. You go, wow, I've had eye strain and I didn't even know that I was sleeping poorly. And they look good. I get to wear glasses when I've never really got to wear them in my life, and it's a fun thing. So if you want to elevate your look with style that doesn't break the bank, then join the movement. MVMT people get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to MVMT.com/JTrain. That's MVMT.com/JTrain. Again, that's MVMT.com/JTrain for 15% off today.
JTrainPodcast@juma.com, JTrainPodcast@juma.com, here with Tom Takkar. Stand by your band. That's the podcast every Wednesday. Go follow at Tom Takkar. Go, go, go. Advice. Jared, Feather, thanks for all that you do. I've been listening to your podcast for a few years now and figured I'd bounce this off you as I would be curious to hear your thoughts. I've been dating this guy for about a month now. I am having fun. We seem to have a lot in common. Before our third date, I invited him over upon his suggestion for a movie night. He lives at home right now, so it was pretty much my apartment by default. I prefer to take things slow in the beginning, so upon inviting him over, I told him straight up that I wasn't ready to be intimate yet. As I know, these things can sometimes be expected with inviting someone over, and he seemed eager to get some apartment time. He was nice about it and made it clear that he just wanted to spend some more time together in a relaxed way. He came over, we got takeout, put on a movie, we cuddled. I've been single throughout the pandemic, so I'll admit the close touch was getting me a bit more excited than I thought it would. The movie ended and we started making out, and he asked if I wanted to go to my room. At this point, I figured we would just continue making out, so I agreed. Things start to get hot and heavy, and I say we should slow down. He then proceeds to say, we can still go down on each other, right? In the moment, I was hey, dude. Like, the minute you're, like, bargaining is the minute you're wrong. Rock. Yeah, this is ridiculous. At bargaining, it's time to walk away from this person. Like, because they're just not doing it. In the moment, I was getting excited and agreed to it. You can fill in the blanks, but after reflecting on it, I have regrets about how fast things moved. Although we didn't have full-on textbook definition sex, I see where I may have been a pushover here, but I also feel that my boundaries weren't fully respected. At first, I felt okay about this as I was having fun in the moment, but upon reflecting more, I am a bit more comfortable with it as it kind of puts a bad taste in my mouth regarding him and boundaries. I think I should bring it up, but worry that now that we've taken that route, there's no going back. Help. So what do you think?
Oof, man, it's exactly what you just said. The second you're like, oh, what if you blow me and I give you a little finger to you do or whatever, it's like that's not good. If you're having that like weird, can we at least do this, if somebody tells you to slow down, it's like you put the boundaries out there, they weren't respected. It is complicated because there is, I remember Bonnie McFarlane was on the radio show that I was on before talking about this exact thing, where she's like, sometimes I do say no when I do mean yes. And it makes it tricky given nowadays how people talk about sex stuff. Mm. But I think we're in a situation where you told him right up front that you didn't want to do anything. And then I think it's totally acceptable to change your mind a little bit, but it's like the second he says, can we still do this? I think you should bring it up, and it depends on what you want too. Do you want to continue this relationship, or are you beyond like grossed out by it or offended that your, you know, boundaries weren't respected? But I think if you want to continue with it, it's absolutely a conversation that it's okay to have, and I think it's important to start the conversations now.
Yeah, I first of all, let's start with that we're not professionals, and if this is something that you're feeling badly about, you should go speak to a professional and reach out to, like, there are resources out there for you, and because this can be anywhere from I don't really feel great about that to I feel horrible about that. You know what I mean? There's a spectrum of how you feel, and no one can tell you how to feel. I would also say to this person, I think you should definitely bring it up. You know, it's annoying. Let's keep it at a baseline. She's just like, oh, I just feel like this was annoying. You know, like let's say it's that you were pestered into hooking up. Yeah. Like it's annoying to have someone go, how about now? How about now? How about now? Yeah. How about now? Yeah. You're like, dude. And it's like, when he does that, it also like shows that he doesn't care about the consequences of your feelings afterwards. Like, if someone says to you, hey, this ain't the night for me, and he's going, well, what about this? It's like almost like he's just trying to get out of there with as much stuff in his arms as he can.
Yeah,
and
he's it's like, can I have a toy? Yeah, it's
like, are you like, dude? I'm looking to like get to know you, and if you're doing this, if you're asking for this, like, well, what about this tonight? Then you're like, are you trying to get to know me, or are you trying to get out of here with a hookup at the very least, and maybe you'll see me again? Like, it doesn't really take getting to know you, so I can understand feeling like cheapened by that. Here's what I would also say. She asks, is there, but worry now that we've taken that route, there's no going back. There's always going back.
Yes. Yeah.
There's always, hey, I had a good time with you until it felt like I was being pestered to hook up and do more than I was looking to do when I told you I wasn't looking to do that. I'd love to go out again, but in the future, I'm not looking to be, you know, bartered with. Like, and with like with the bases that we're gonna get to that date.
Yeah, I think that's totally fair, and you're totally right. There is absolutely going back, especially you're adults. Like, there hits a point where you can talk about this shit, and if you can't, that's good to figure out now. You know,
yeah.
Because if you have a real relationship, you're gonna be talking about this sort of shit a lot. You know,
and if he's looking to get to know you, they're always, you know, the idea of like there's no going back exists in the fear of getting turned down. So it's like, oh, if I go out again and we don't hook up, then he's going to think that I'm, and it's like, no. You have to like reverse the perspective. Do you want to go out with, do you want to try and get to know someone who can't hook up, who can't hang out with you without hooking up? And it's like, oh, that's not a real relationship then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Tom Takkar at Tom Takkar. Stand by your band. That's the podcast. Go follow. Okay, let's do this one. Workplace war zone.
Ooh, I'm excited for this one.
I love That's a lifestyle heavy. Email. Feather. I'm at my wit's end with a coworker and our constant struggle to work together. I'm 25-year-old female, and I've been at my company going on 3 years now. My coworker, let's call her Jennifer, is in her late 30s and has been at the company going on 10 years. My role is in customer data management, and she's in sales. Now, we have been going through a CRM transition since September, and I served as a quote-unquote expert on processes to assist in the creation of the new CRM to meet the needs of the company. Jennifer is the is that person who wants a say in everything. And while I would interview her on her processes, she would tell me that our boss was wrong and the process for the new system should be what she preferred. Clearly, Jennifer was not happy about the change. I went along with it like the foolish little 23-year-old I was, and I ended up catching all the blame from our boss when she reviewed my work. My boss literally told me not to do everything Jennifer says because Jennifer needed to be hitting her numbers, not telling me what to do. Sounds like I'm not the only one tired of Jennifer's micromanaging. So basically, 23-year-old gets told to make some changes, to be in charge of a project, and older person at the company tells her, no, you're going to do it my way. And then she gets in trouble for doing it her way. Okay. Cut to now when we're on our second week using the new CRM. Jennifer calls me 5 minutes before she's taking off early, asking me to skip a step so she can leave on time. I tell her to go to IT about it, who gives her the green light to skip my step when I knew it would mess the shit up. Next day, lo and behold, there's a mess of information in the system, and I put it in an IT ticket explaining the situation because Jennifer won't respond to me about the issue. She rarely responds to me when there are issues she has caused. The IT response comes back calling me out for creating the duplicate and citing that Jennifer was given the go-ahead, and I need to make sure I'm doing the right processes. Jared, how can I assert myself with Jennifer now that I have 2 years of knowledge backing up my decisions? Is everyone afraid to stand up to Jennifer since my boss in IT only reprimanded me and not her? Is corporate work like high school again, where seniority trumps quality of work? Help before I lose my mind completely. Tom Takkar, what do you think? This is a tough one because there's a lot of jargon.
There's a lot of CRM talk, CRM. Yeah. I don't know what the fuck that is, but I think I get it because I used to work in a hospital, like IT situation, and there was all kinds of language like this that was very frustrating. And I had a coworker who kind of did this shit to me too, where I was the person I don't want to get too into details in case it pisses anybody off. But I had somebody who was telling me what they thought I should be doing, and then the boss would be like, "What the fuck are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, this is what I was trained to do. I don't know." But it again is, you're new, you're young, and people who are miserable or like they've been at a place for a while, the little bit of power that they feel like they have, they're going to use it on you. And your best, what I'm gathering out of this, because I'm not hearing anything else here, but I'm not really understanding what the consequences of not listening to her would be, other than pissing her off or feeling like you're being disrespectful.
There are none.
Disrespectful to an elder, right? Yeah. So yeah, at the end of the day, I think if she, next time she does this to you, you point to these little things that happened. You go, "Look, I would love to help you out, but the last two times I've helped you out, look, I'm getting my ass burned, and I think I got to just do it the way that I want to do it. And I'm sorry, but that's just what it is." Easier said than done. And, but that's how I personally would handle it, because I used to just sit in my office and boil about this sort of shit. And, you know, then I, you know what, you can quit and be a dog walker like I did, and your pay will go very much lower, and you'll be lucky to be able to eat soup at night. But yeah, I think at some point you just got to put your foot down and go, "Look, you're not pushing me around anymore." And you don't have to be shitty about it. Just go, "Here's what happened last time. Yeah. Will you acknowledge that this is what happened last time? Okay, good. Let's move on from here."
Shelby, did you have something?
There's no consequences for just telling her off. Like, you just dominate her and be the master of your domain.
Comes in strong.
Shelby, well, I love
you.
That
don't work
like
for
so
Jennifer, you work for whoever.
That's the thing.
So
here's
soft-spoken, dominate her.
Take her out. I'll say this, and I think you're both right. I don't think you even have to deal with Jennifer. It's as Bill Belichick has said a million times, do your job. Just do your job. And all you have to say is, "I'm doing my job. This is the job I was hired to do." The worst and most annoying resume item is time. And the people with resume item, when time is at the top of their resume items, that means they've done nothing else. That means they're not very good at their job. And there's a reason time is at the top. "I've been here 30 years. Right. Well, then why are you talking to a 23-year-old? Okay. You should be not talking to me. You should not have to deal with me on a daily basis. So you have to do your job, and you have to kind of just disregard what this person is saying and just do it on your own. And you don't have to be disrespectful. You can do it. You can say, you can yes her to death and then do things your way. And then when it comes out, what happened here? If Jennifer comes to you, what happened here? "Oh, I just did my job. This is what I do." And always lean on do your job, because in the situation she gives, she's like, she's trying to get out of here early. I mean, I would do the thing where I do a lot of this. I ask a lot of questions. I would be like, "Yeah, and I don't know why. I think Jennifer is leaving early."
Yep.
Like, that's how you always ask questions.
Yeah, I guess Jennifer got approval to leave early today. That's what I understand.
I'm not sure if Jennifer got approval to leave early, but is she there? Is Jennifer at her desk? Just always, if you ask questions, the answers reveal themselves. And I would go to other bosses. I would go to other and just keep asking them questions. "Do you want me to do it this way or this way? Do you want Jennifer to do it this way or this way? Because Jennifer's saying to do it this way." And the more questions you ask, and people love dealing with people who ask questions, because they get to be in charge. They get to tell you what to do. You're giving someone power. Mm-hmm. And when you ask questions you already know the answers to, now you get affirmation that you're doing the right thing, so that when Jennifer comes back, "No, I asked so-and-so. They said this is the way we do it now."
A few months ago, I heard somebody else like said to somebody else, like, where I work, like, "Oh, I didn't get to go on my afternoon walk because I didn't have, oh, and I... this thing by this time, and I was thinking, I wish somebody said that to me.
Oh, I wish a motherfucker would. You know what? I'm fired up. In fact, fuck all that good advice. I think this is what you do. Next time Jennifer plays her little shit, just here, record this, play this for her. Next time you fuck with my shit, Jennifer, it's on site. It's over. It's fucking over for you, bitch. There's a new bad bitch in town. Your old ass is out. Yeah. I'm going to eat your fucking lunch, Jennifer, and I'm going to drink your fucking milkshake. It's done.
Yeah, that's a fun thing. Go to the fridge, take the food that she wrote her name on, and eat them right in her face and go, if you fuck with me again, you're not getting your dessert next time.
You fuck with me again? Yeah. This is your child's head.
The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Policy Genius. April means a lot of not so fun things: getting fooled, getting rained on, getting your taxes done. So if you need a positive experience to balance it all out, consider shopping for home and auto insurance with Policy Genius. Policy Genius can help you find home and auto coverage similar to what you have now, but at a lower price. In fact, they've saved customers up to $1,055 per year. That's $1,055 per year by reshopping their home and auto coverage. Getting started is easy. I'm telling you right now, insurance, y'all have to pay it. Y'all have to have it. I get it. It's one of those things you're buying so you don't have, because you hope you'll not, you don't have to use it. But here's the thing. If you're paying for home and auto insurance, you got to look for the $20 in your coat pocket. And this is a way to do it. Policy Genius is a way to see, can I save money? It's an opportunity. First, head to policygenius.com. Answer a few quick questions about yourself and your property. The Policy Genius takes it from there. They'll compare rates from America's top insurers, from Progressive to Allstate, to find your lowest quote. The Policy Genius team will look at all the ways to maximize your savings, including building your home and auto policies. If Policy Genius finds a better rate than what you're paying now, they'll switch over. So they'll switch you over for free. That kind of service has earned Policy Genius a 5-star rating across over thousands of reviews on Trustpilot and Google. So people, this is a no-brainer to just go check out. Maybe it's going to help you. Maybe not, but at least you looked and you can feel better about it. Policy Genius can promise that you won't leave their website feeling like a fool. Well, that's the reality. You walk away going, I'm already paying the least I can. Good to know. Or I can be paying less. Good to know as well. They've saved customers up to $1,055 per year compared to their current home and auto policies. Head to policygenius.com to get started right now. Policy Genius, when it comes to insurance, it's nice to get it right. The J Train Podcast is brought to you by Liquid Death. I love Liquid Death. It is a water company, and I love what they're doing. It's death to plastic. They come in these huge tall boy cans. They're awesome. You can chug a water in one sitting. It's 16 ounces of fun. Great for a barbecue. Great to have in the house to toss to a friend. This is going to be the summer of Liquid Death. The cans look cool. They look like you're drinking a beer, but you're just chugging a water. And let me just tell you, when you're at a party and someone says, toss me a water from across the party, and you take out a Liquid Death, everyone's vibe changes. It's fun. It's exciting. And, you know, you can crack one out in a car ride and you're sitting there just chugging from a tall boy. But it's water. And they got it in sparkling, too. I'm a huge fan of Liquid Death. And I just love what they're doing. I love that they've taken a new approach to water. And water is something we all are trying to get more of, aren't we? Every day I'm sitting there, I got to drink more water. I got to drink more water. I don't want to be sitting here. You know, they say sometimes when you think you're hungry, you're actually thirsty. So when you have a Liquid Death, you chug it down, you crack one open, you toss it to a buddy, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, I was just a little bit thirsty. Thirst gone thanks to Liquid Death. Go to liquiddeath.com/JTrain to get a free set of koozies with your first order of any case of water. Or just grab some at any Whole Foods or 7-Eleven. It's in the water aisle and it looks like a beer. It's so much fun. The designs on the can are awesome. I've been looking at their t-shirts for years. I've always just wanted one of their t-shirts because they're kind of cool. So liquiddeath.com/JTrain to get a free set of koozies with your first order of any case of water. Or just grab some at Whole Foods or 7-Eleven.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Here with Tom Takkar. Unlucky number 3. Okay. Papa JT, feathers from Australia. In February last year, I ended things with my main friends with benefits, which meant I spent the strict Melbourne lockdown celibate. Dun, dun, dun. I work in healthcare. Yeah, we got the didgeridoo playing. I work in healthcare and was not going to date during that time. Now that we're back to some level of normal, I recently joined a dating app for the first time with the intention of having fun. I found two great guys that I'm really enjoying dating and who satisfy me in different ways. After 2 weeks on the app, I paused my profile because I didn't want the algorithm to throw all the good ones up front while I have met people I am dating and happy with. Okay, so she's saving them for later. I like this person. My friends have been laughing at me and my novice use of the app, but I think I'm kind of a genius for it to get what I want at the moment. Yeah, I think if you're trying to hook up and you're like, I don't want to like just swipe through dudes that I couldn't give attention to, this is a good organizational maneuver for me. My friends have been laughing at me and my novice use of the app, but I think I'm kind of a genius for using it to get what I want at the moment. My current plan is to keep things casual and keep seeing them both. I have a third person that I clicked with on our first date and I'm interested in. He keeps pushing to see me again, but I don't really have time with my current work and social life plus the two guys. I also don't think I can or want to juggle a third. I expect my current situations to fizzle at some point, at which point I would be interested in re-engaging with this third guy. I have bought myself an extra week of not seeing him as I'll be away for work, but what is the best way to put this on hold, if at all? Should I just tell him I'm seeing someone? What is the best way to let him down, but ideally keep him on the back burner? I love this question because I love the way this person's going about dating. It's very reasonable. It's very, you know, proactive. She's got two guys and she's got a third that wants to get in the rotation, but she's saying she's not ready for the third guy, but she wants to make sure she has access to him in the future. What should she say to him?
Oh man, that is tough. And boy, just a sign of what it's like to be a woman on dating apps over me. I can't imagine being like, oh, I've got to put these ones on the back burner because so many are coming through. I do think it's interesting, and I'm trying to think. I feel like I've been one of the guys in this sort of situation before, and I didn't really mind kind of just like the person drifting out a little bit, you know? Mm. And I don't know. That's a tough conversation because you don't want to just be like, look, you're third in the rotation. And
you can only be so honest. If I'm her, this is an easy solution because guys, you know, I think this guy will be, when you come back to him, as you say, it probably will happen. He's going to be happy to engage with you, but you have to let him know, like, and you have to give, you want to be with a confident guy. So this is kind of a test of his confidence. If he can't handle this kind of strategy that I'm about to give, then you don't want to be with him in the first place. He's not really good for what you're looking for. And what you're looking for is a casual, fun time. And that is really tough to do with someone who's not confident. So what I would tell this person is you go to this guy and you go, hey, I had a really good time meeting you, but there's some people from my past that aren't really done at this point, and I'm trying to give that another chance. I really appreciate meeting you. If that ends, I have your number and I'll reach out. So now
damn,
it's in your...
I love that.
Yeah, the ball's in your court. If he can't handle that, who's this other guy? What the fuck? Why would you... I'm on the back burner?
Yeah.
You cut all communication because he's never going to be that guy for you. But I think for the most part, from the sound of this email, this guy's going to go, no problem. Thanks for being up front. Hopefully I hear from you in the future. And if you get that answer, you're good.
And you're totally right that if that's what you're looking for, this guy will be cool with that because he's like, well, I got other options too. I'll just, you know, if I really like this girl, that's great that maybe someday that it could happen. But like in the meantime, I'm not sweating, you know.
He doesn't want to waste his time either. Hey, I've been dealing with an ex that's kind of come pop back into my life. I had a great time with you, but I need to give this a chance before I can move forward. I have your number. If that doesn't work out, I'll definitely reach out in the future.
Damn, that is brilliant. You're saving people's lives here, Jared.
That's right. We are.
Next time I see you, on site.
It's on site.
It's on jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. jtrainpodcast@gmail.com. Tom Takar, let's do one more email. Is that okay?
Let's do one more. We're saving lives here. Damn, that last one. That gave me chills, J-Train. That was...
I've done this a couple times before. We have a screenshot email. You got it?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. I'm like fired up about this one. This one is insane.
I hope I have the order. It's all in order. It's ready to go. They numbered them. I love that. Okay. Guy changes his mind after flying 3,000 miles. Jared, love the podcast. Whenever my friend and I have dating issues, we always said, what would Jared say? So anyway, I live in LA, and around February of this year, I got matched with a guy that lives in NYC. We talked every day nonstop for the past 2 months, FaceTime at least twice a week for 2 to 3 hours. And Jesus. We also discussed our intentions in dating, what we are looking for, long-term relationship, values, etc. Everything seems to be going well. And then this guy booked a flight to LA before this trip, his trip to San Diego, to see me in person. Okay, so they're talking twice a week. They're texting all the time. They both want long-term relationships. He books the ticket to LA before his trip to San Diego to see her in person. He also invited me to San Diego with him. Got a little ahead of himself. Okay. Yeah. The first night we met, we drank a little bit too much, so we ended up sleeping with each other. We both regretted this and agreed that we were moving way too fast and decided to take things slow again. And then we met again 2 days later. We hung out for about 9 hours sober, where we discussed what happened on the first night, as well as how he was glad that he got to come to LA to see me and gave us options on potentially how to make this long distance work. Fast forward to 2 days later, his last day in LA, we went to the gym together. How LA of that? But then he told me that he has a dinner plan with his friends. I asked if he would want to come over because I wanted to see him one last time before he leaves, and then he said he would let me know. Fast forward a few hours later, see screenshots attached. Okay, let's start. I'll be her, you be him.
Yep. Let me
So this is at, so they slept together, they have a 9 hours sober, they go to the gym together. He then kind of comes out of the blue, it sounds like, with this friend dinner thing on his last night, and then she says, I want to see you one last time, and he said he would let me know. Let me know is never a good sign, okay? No. I'll let you know is never good. Okay, you ready?
Yeah, let me, hold on, let me pull this all up. Okay.
I'm her, she's blue.
Yes.
Okay, so she writes at 8:35 p.m. It doesn't look good so far. Okay, ready? So, what do you think?
About?
Are you coming?
I'm heading to, it's blanked out.
So is that a no or?
Not sure when I'll be back.
Ooh, he's being very vague.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay there late? Okay, that's fine.
And then he thumbs up the okay, that's fine. And then, sorry.
So does that mean I'll probably not see you again then? I mean, there's things I kind of want to talk about. I guess never mind. I just didn't think our last meeting would be at the gym, that I seriously can't even talk to you, LOL.
Probably not. I need to rest up before my flight. What are you hoping to accomplish if I come over tonight? It's probably not a great idea, no?
I just want to talk to you and see you. We're not going to do anything. We accomplished last time that was too soon for us anyway. Because after this, I'll probably just see you from the screen again. And it's just different.
This is where it gets really crazy, I think. I think I prefer the screen.
Hey, it's... then she question mark reacts, and then she writes, wait, what?
I don't think we need to meet in person. It's been a long week.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not going to force you. I know you're tired and exhausted. But what do you mean by you prefer the screen?
I shouldn't have drank so much that time. It added unnecessary complication, and there's no need to meet again.
Can we talk about this?
You're great, but I don't want to continue this.
Over the phone is fine. Can I call you right now? That's fine if not.
Maybe when I'm back in a few weeks.
I mean, are you mad that I asked you to come over? Like, what is it? I thought things were going well.
This is fucking insane. Then he thumbs down the I thought things are going well.
I guess
what
not.
A move.
Yeah, that's a says, crazy move.
Then he said, not now, I'm with people. Really?
She thumbs up the I'm with people. Yeah. the dudes are really rocking right now. He thumbs up that emotion. He thumbs up the not now, I'm with people. We had a chat about this on Wednesday.
I'm not ready for anything. I love how vague that is. I'm not ready for anything.
And we both thought that aside from Monday, we like spending time with each other. I know, and I'm not asking you to. And today, I mean, we literally just worked out in the gym, and that's it. If I seem too pushy to you today, I apologize.
I'm nicely asking you not to get attached.
Why is the 180? I'm so confused right now.
It's too much, honestly. It's too much for me. No need to overthink.
Oh, he's being so
he's
annoying.
A gaslighter. Yep.
Okay, that's fine.
You should respect my decision.
Oi, dude. Do you think we can chat about this over the phone sometimes? And I know distance. I'm respecting your decision, and I know distance will not be easy either.
We need some space for now.
Okay. If that's what you want, I'll respect it.
He thumbs up that and then says, thanks.
And then she writes, so I guess I'm not going to San Diego then. Laughing a face emoji.
And then she writes, JK, yeah.
LOL, JK. She's being, right now, she's trying to fun this up. She's trying to make this more fun. And then he thumbs downs that.
He thumbs down, so I guess I'm not going to San Diego. This guy is a psycho.
Yeah,
you don't
this guy
thumbs down shit like this. It's crazy.
It's like what Shelby, a robot would do.
Yes.
Part robot.
Yeah, it feels very robotic. And it feels like, he's not handling this correctly. And and she's also like, she's right. Her questions make sense to me. But go on.
He says, nah, my coworker doesn't want random guests at Airbnb. COVID times. Don't try to control the situation.
Oh, my God.
What?
But yeah, anyway, joke aside, have fun in San Diego. And then she writes, I'm not trying to. I had a great time FaceTiming, spending time with you. I'm sorry you don't feel the same way.
Good times.
I really hope we can chat about this, but I know I'll give you space for now. Will it be okay for me to contact you when you're back in New York?
I worry you'll get attached, so let's play by ear. I can't guarantee anything.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. Have fun tonight. Smiley face. She's being way too nice.
So way too nice. Then he says, thanks, I will, and thumbs up. Okay, yeah, that's fair. First of all, it's not fair. That's not fair. He's a psycho. This guy is a
1,000.
Dude.
Yeah, he went full robot.
It's so weird, and his messages are so weird that if she hadn't met him in person already, I would think she was getting catfished. Like, it's crazy the way that he's talking to her, and I can't believe how nice she is the whole time.
She writes, I'm really confused because his words and his actions don't align. No, they don't align. And when we saw each other last after the gym, he was still really considerate and looked like he wanted to see me that night. What do you think has changed? I'm really confused because he basically didn't want to give me some more information aside from don't get attached and he's not ready. So I would love to hear from you what you think of this situation. So, Tom, what do you think of this situation?
Dude, I got to tell you.
Other than him, I mean, it's kind of scary the way... Because they did sleep together. So he comes to L.A., they get drunk, they sleep together, and then she wrote something very specific that jumped out to me. She wrote, first night we drank a little bit too much, so we ended up sleeping with each other. We both regretted this and agreed that we were moving too fast and decided to take things slow again. Mm-hmm. That is one of those things... that it feels like one person says and the other person agrees to.
Yeah, yeah. Where maybe she didn't really, she was just like, oh, that was fun. And then he's like, we shouldn't have done that. And then it turns into that.
Based on his messages, that's what it seemed like happened. I know we're making kind of an assumption, but like, it feels like this guy has, you know, he wanted to come and have fun. And then he had post- you know, sex regrets, and he's handling it in a very mean and immature
way. The word accomplished stood out to me. Like, what did he say?
I think that was just like a misspeak. Like, I think she meant to say that we both agreed or whatever.
Oh, did he say that or did she say
I think she said accomplished. Oh. Yeah. Let me see where that was. Because, I think that was just a typo. We accomplished last time that was... No. I think she meant to say we established last time that was too soon for us anyway.
What do you think of this situation? What do you think is going on here?
I am at a loss. I think he did regret it. I think there's a chance that maybe he got there. And, you know, sometimes... And this is no discredit to this person who wrote in. Sometimes you meet somebody in person after talking on the phone for a while and you just don't vibe the way you thought that you would. And maybe he's just trying to back away. He got scared that he had committed too much already with these FaceTimes and stuff. And rather than be, you know, an emotionally sound adult who would communicate those things with you, I think there's a chance he's going to go the other way and go, I'm just going to be mean and or distant and cold until you don't want to fuck with me anymore. Because people do that too, where it's like, you're just like, oh, I'll just cut it kind of like immediately and be a little weird. And then she'll get the hint rather than me having to have that conversation. I think that's possible.
I think what happened was when you text with someone, you write your own script. And sometimes you get in front of that person and you can't be the person that you've written yourself to be. So before he gets to LA, he's talking about relationships. He's talking about being together, figuring it out. And he gets to LA and then he gets in the bed that he helped make. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, oh, I don't know if I want to be in this bed anymore. And just like you said, he goes into gaslighting maneuver as we watched in his text. That's why I'm assuming this whole decision that like we move too fast. It feels like this is what he does because he gaslit this whole conversation. Yeah. But I would also say it feels like he has other relationships. It feels like he has something else going on in New York. It feels like to me, it's this screams I have like a wife and family back
that,
in New York.
Something, yeah, that's very possible too. That's a good point. I think what you're saying about that it could be that he even in it, I think it's a possibility he built it up in his own head and he just got a little too far ahead of himself and like he fucked up and it's all him. I would say it's like you didn't take it too fast. He did. And he's talking about this relationship that I don't think he's ready for. Also, I think he might be a psycho because he went to the gym with you that day instead of like and counted as a hangout. Well, that is psycho behavior in my opinion.
I think
opinion.
He's
my,
trying
my fiance
to
and I will never she was like, I will never go to the gym with you. Like we go at separate times. Yeah. We don't want to catch each other's eyes at the gym and she didn't want me to see her working out. It's a crazy thing. Unless you're like deep into a relationship and you're like one of those fitness couples, but you've hooked up with like once. Weird.
Yeah, I think this is a runaway situation, and what do I think has changed? I don't think I think the only thing that changed is he had to live in the reality that he wrote, and then he has to deal with that. So he might have a girlfriend, he might have a wife, he might have other things going on, but he can't amount to the FaceTimes and texts that he had written to you, and now he's dealing with the consequences of that, and the consequences. Hey, what do we do next? Because there has to be a next. Mm-hmm. And he is not even admitting to that, which means, you know, he's being an asshole and he's not, you know, at that point he's trying to gaslight you into you're going to get too attached when he's the one that brought the boat to this port.
Yeah. Yeah.
JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. JTrainPodcast@gmail.com. Tom Takkar, thank you for coming on. This is fantastic.
Dude, thanks so much for having me, man. Great time.
At Tom Takkar on Instagram. Stand by your band every Wednesday. Go follow. Go get involved. Shelby, thank you for playing on the ones and twos, getting involved.
No, thank you.
At Classic Shelb on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jared Fried. We're here every Monday and Thursday. Keep spreading the word. Keep telling your friends. We'll be back next week. Boom.